G'day, Nigel Moore from the Tech Tribe here, and as you can probably tell from the accent, also from Australia. So I've stolen the microphone from my good friend Richard Tubb and taken over the beginning and end of his podcast to blatantly promote our Tech Tribe. But don't worry, I'm not going to bore you to death with endless details on the features of our product or the technical mumbo jumbo or how long I've been in the industry or blah, blah, blah. Instead, I'll offer you a quick bribe. If you hang around until the end of the episode, which knowing Richard is no doubt going to be a cracker, then I'll let you know some stuff about our tribe and I'll give you some details on a special Tub Talk only deal complete with steak knives. Well, maybe not the snake knives, but for now, enjoy the heck out of the episode and I'll be back at the end.
You're listening to Tub Talk, the podcast for IT business owners with our featured conversation with Richard Tubb and Christian Nogeli and Ian Van Rienen of Datto. My name's Jeff Nicholson, and this podcast is all about helping you grow your IT business. In this episode, Richard talks with Ian and Christian, who started out running their RMM business from Christian's bathroom and spare room before being acquired by Autotask. Now they're part of the Datto family. You'll hear how Christian and Ian started the business, why they decided to operate as a cloud-based SaaS platform when nobody else was, and how they utilized AWS. You'll also learn more about the move to Datto and the plans for the next 12 months. This episode was recorded in person between Richard, Christian, and Ian at DattoCon 2018 in Barcelona.
Ian, Christian, welcome to Tub Talk.
Thank you, Richard. Delighted to be here.
Now, I think it was about 11 years ago that I met both of you for the first time. It was at a little IT group meeting, Amit Pro, in Birmingham. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. You were demoing this little remote monitoring and management tool you've got called CentraStage. Things have moved on a little bit since then, haven't they?
Certainly moved on product-wise, yeah. I can't imagine exactly what we demoed 11 years ago, but it certainly wouldn't be anything like it is today. But yeah. It was the seed of what it is today. And yeah. I think that's the key thing. We haven't changed the product philosophy massively. We've just really accelerated and brought it through to fruition.
Just changed the name three times.
We've done
well,
that.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about that. So you both now are part. So CentraStage was bought out by Autotask. Autotask is now part of the Datto family. I guess, first of all, what are both of your job titles now?
I have several. It depends which card I'm bringing out of my pocket.
Go for it. Use the highest value card.
So the highest value card is now, I am now head of EMEA for Datto.
Fantastic.
Okay. And my role now is I still run the engineering division for Datto RMM. My role is VP of Endpoint Products, VP of Engineering for Endpoint Products, which is actually a legacy Autotask title. Mm. I'm guessing it may be changed at some point because obviously Datto has a lot more endpoint products than the ones we had in Autotask. But currently is my role and responsibility.
So what does a typical day look like for you now with this new role?
Primary responsibility is to make sure that the platform is up and running. So, first thing every day is just a quick call and a chat with the sort of a product and engineering leads just to make sure that we don't have any emergencies, because that's our first and foremost responsibility. After that, my day is typically split between working with the product management team on new features and prioritization of new features and exactly how they're going to work, or else working with the product architecture. So understanding how we're going to scale it further, whether we need to put down further platforms in different regions, etc. Outside of that, it starts to become more and more of the management side of things, filling in spreadsheets, making sure that we're recruiting the right number of people, making sure that our bug count is within spec and that we're fixing issues when they do arise. It's changed a lot since the early days, certainly. I have a more comfortable chair.
And a standing desk.
And
more monitors. Standing desk. What about you, Christian? So what are your responsibilities entail?
Richard, where do I start? So look, my role's changed significantly even in the last few months. So I've taken on the role of head of EMEA since Mark Banfield moved on to Pastures New relatively recently. So still getting my feet under the desk. Look, primary responsibility is driving, top line growth across EMEA. But I guess from almost a cultural perspective, my responsibilities are for the almost 300 people, seven offices across EMEA within Datto. So, yeah, look, I mean, I think I speak for us both. I'm having a lot of fun, right? This is a really exciting new phase. So Datto RMM, same thing under the hood. You know, I think whilst my formal responsibilities are no longer product related, which they were Autotask, right? I was primarily responsible for Autotask endpoint management, as it was then known. You know, just emotionally still really attached to the technology. And, you know, it's just incredibly motivating to see it kind of scaling new heights, I guess, as it were, both in terms of number of customers, number of endpoints. But I think, you know, and something I'm sure Ian will come on to, it's the pace at which we're now moving it forward, just from a pure feature set capability perspective, you know, which has kept us both here engaged and yeah, childishly pumped.
Well, let's talk about the journey for a little bit. So I remember speaking to you two all those years ago, and I think it was you, Ian, you were showing me photographs. You were based out of your garage, I think it was. And earlier on, you and I were chatting and you were saying you had your data center based out of the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
At one point, because it was cooled, wasn't it, by the venting fan?
We'd run the cold water up to the bottom of the chassis just to take some of the heat out.
Water-cooled service.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started in the garage. In fact, in Guildford was the very first iteration when we wrote things on the whiteboard. In fact, I think we just wrote it on the wall. We didn't have a whiteboard at that stage.
Couldn't afford whiteboards.
We moved to Christian's man cave after that, in Speen in Buckinghamshire. And then to my apartment in High Wycombe. And I did have, it was a two-bedroom apartment, so it was the second bathroom, but yes. And they were all development servers, but we had the early servers in the bathroom because that's where the extractor was.
Well, it's natural, yeah. Exactly. Why would you put the server anywhere else?
Exactly. Okay. But yes, those were fun times.
And a little known fact, Richard, throughout that process, Ian was courting my wife's sister, who then proceeded to marry, and so halfway through the process, we actually formally became family.
Wow.
Which was tough. You have a South African in your professional life, suddenly he's on your family holidays as well, popping up, which...
Christian doesn't like to be outshone, and all of a sudden...
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
But when you first put Centra Stage together, it was a product built SaaS first, wasn't it?
Yep.
Which was unusual for the time. So most products at the time used to be server-based and things. So looking back now, obviously everybody talks about being SaaS first and cloud first now.
Yeah.
But you were trendsetters at the time, weren't you? Let's give you your due for that. What did that journey look like? And did you ever sort of... ever think this day would come where everybody would be talking about SaaS first? Or did you get discouraged at any point and think, actually, we're better off going down the server?
Well, I'm just going to jump in on that, actually, because I think Ian deserves massive credit for calling that early, right? Even before we could even move to AWS, because they didn't have the feature set to sustain what we were trying to build. But always Ian's view was it has to be cloud. Yeah. We were trying to bring on early revenues. I was sometimes begging him, let's just do a couple of on-prem, you know, just to bring in some early revenues. But he was pretty resolute, and sadly, he's not one to be argued with. So it's absolutely stood us in good stead. The challenge we always had, especially trying to build an RMM tool for managed service providers in the face of a fair bit of competition, is we were always developing the back-end engine at the expense of features. So when we met many years ago in our offices, when you were kind enough to come and give us some advice on the market, you know, we had something that could scale for devices we couldn't yet sell to because we didn't have the feature set. So obviously what the Autotask run allowed us to do is just accelerate the development of the feature set, but also scale the platform to take on the millions of devices we were now supporting.
Hats off to AWS, though, because and they continue to do it. They offer, you know, free tiers. And for us, yeah, that was a massive incentive to use AWS. And we did test out different platforms. You know, Microsoft Azure, obviously, we had a look. And there were a couple of different ones that we considered. But the clincher was that you could go onto a free tier on AWS and actually run a commercial infrastructure, very small scale, for free. Because they encourage people to innovate and to develop. And then obviously, you know, hoping that you would scale. Luckily for them, we did. We pay them hundreds of thousands of pounds a month now. But the most exciting thing for us was we sort of joined AWS when they were bringing through some of the really exciting features. So initially it was, you know, you could hire computing power, and then you had databases on demand, and then they had the routing systems and the load balancers and Kinesis, and it's sort of grown along with us. And we've tracked what they do and figured out, oh, how can we use that in terms of scaling our system? And in fact, they've been great in conferences and, you know, technical architects are coming along to evaluate and work with us how best to use their system. But we probably have, you know, some of the most experienced AWS engineers working with us now. We've been there right since the very beginning.
Can I just put on record that I never found those features exciting? Just saying. But in the early days, again, to its credit, AWS would have him speaking at some of their startup events because we were leveraging so many of their new services as they came out. So, look, it was our one key competitive differentiator. It's why Autotask bought us and not one of the more established tools, because we didn't come into Autotask with much revenue. We didn't come with many managed service provider customers because that wasn't our exclusive focus, but we came with a highly scalable platform, which we could throw features at pretty quickly with clear direction from product management, which obviously the Autotask customer base gave us. You know, so we've been able to essentially play feature catch up through 2015-16, you know, reach a point of feature parity and more. And the Datto phase, which is why, again, we're fired up about it, is because now it's, you know, a real push to be the out-and-out market leader by every measurable metric, you know, within the next couple of years. And that's completely achievable, you know, from the days of little old Central Stage Amit Pro Small Business Server User Group.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, good memory.
Remember it well.
Yeah,
I think I remember that very session. Yeah.
Actually, you mentioned talking at AWS events. I remember one, and I had a pain, which I thought was a stomach pain, for days. And we had an AWS. I was speaking at an AWS event up north, and said to Christian, just really just not feeling good. And he's like, pain is only weakness leaving the body, mate. You've got to go. This is our opportunity. And I drove probably 3 hours north, spoke at this event, was almost doubled over in pain. And there was a doctor in the audience. And he looked at me after and said, look, you look really pale and it looks like you're uncomfortable. And explained to what it was. And he tapped my stomach and then said, mate, your appendix is either burst or about to burst.
Oh, my goodness.
And I literally went from there to the hospital to have my appendix removed. Yeah, and that was it. But as I say, in Christian's words, company comes first.
Appendix leaving the body.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did Amit Pro. He can damn well go and do AWS.
Well, yeah, you've got to share the load.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the journey a little bit more then. So you grew Centra Stage. You had a lot of really loyal fans.
Yep.
We talked to our mutual friend, my good friend, Matt Barton, Ostrich IT.
Yeah.
He's a massive advocate for you in the UK, sort of told lots of MSPs around you.
Yeah.
And then it was actually 5 years ago, it was in this building, you and I Christian, were talking about this. I can remember introducing you to the then Autotask CEO, Mark Cattini, and conversations went from there. And Central Stage ended up being acquired by Autotask.
Yeah.
What was that process like for you to go from being this startup business, you are the masters of your own sort of empire, to then being part of a bigger organization?
Yeah, look, I think not as hard as people expect us to say. I think they were very, what's the word? Sensitive to the fact that, you know, we'd built this thing from scratch. You know, Mark Cattini and his crew were, it wasn't the biggest company in the world, right? They were 400 people. It wasn't as if we were being subsumed into Dell.
And how big was Central Stage at that point?
35 people?
Yeah. So you're getting up there, yeah.
That's what we told them. But look, the point was they pretty much let us run with growing the RMM side, right?
I think that was key.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, I work very closely with Adam Stewart and Pat Burns, and they recognized very early on that the way that Datto RMM, or rather Central Stage, was architected at that stage was quite different to the Autotask architecture, and that we'd spent a lot of time on AWS and had experience there. So it set, you know, the ground rules of this is where we need to go and this is the direction and here are the, you know, the metrics that we need to make sure we're in there, and set us off to do that. And it, you know, for me, it was a great experience because suddenly we had the resources to scale the business. Not only from the back end, to just spend money on the back end and make sure that we could, you know, deliver the the service, you know, to the sort of performance levels that we needed to. But also, suddenly, we went from having, you know, dodgy five salespeople led by Christian, you know, on the charge, to having 100-odd salespeople.
Or five salespeople led by dodgy Christian.
yeah, more active. Did I say it the other way around? Yeah. Shouldn't be that way. In fact, we still got some of them with us, Stuart Kringle and still.
Yeah.
But,
salesperson ever, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you can imagine the scale that we went. We went from a couple hundred thousand devices just suddenly, you know, we were up to 1 million within no time at all. Mm-hmm. And it was everything we thought and we wanted the platform to do, because we'd architected to do that from the beginning. That was the reason for being an AWS, that we could scale elastically.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, it was going. Yeah. It used to be we'd say, like, oh, imagine we'll have 10,000 devices one day. We'll have 100,000. Then suddenly it was 1 million, 2 million, and 3 million. Yeah. Really exciting. Yeah. Really exciting to see.
Look, and I think we went overnight from four salespeople and dodgy Christian to 140 salespeople, right? And most of the Autotask customer base used an RMM tool. Autotask were quite sales focused. I think the one major challenge, I think most of our center stage customers, and there's still plenty of them, you know, on the platform. I think they would hopefully all agree that we did them proud, right? Just in terms of the feature set that we're, you know, been promising, came through far quicker than perhaps we could have done ourselves. The issue was more around just trying to scale the services and support side. Autotask didn't understand how to support an RMM tool, because supporting a PSA platform is very, very different. And to scale and sort of backfill support and services in pace with sales growth is just really difficult for any business, whether you're a vendor or an MSP. So there was no doubt some pain there, right? It was just hard to find good people and train them quick enough to keep pace with the number of new customers we were bringing on, right? So, you know, cheesy to say, we were sort of victims of our own success a little bit on that front. So I think if people felt, you know, some pain there onboarding and the subsequent support, but, you know, happily that, you know, ship has steadied. Steadied some time ago. And again, I think joining part of Datto as well, they've got such an unflinching focus on technical support. You know, Austin's, you know, you shall not be on hold if you call us for technical support. Stands us in good stead as well. So, you know, they're doubling down on technical support and just the wraparound services, because it's a big platform now, right? It's quite easy on any RMM tool to end up using 30% of a product you're paying for 100% off, which is always one of our, you know, guiding principles. You need to be able to consume as much of the feature set as you possibly can to drive the value. So, okay, we're in a good spot, and arguably on the most exciting phase, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. We've got to the point, and I mentioned it in the keynote, we've got to the point where, you know, we're running with the big dogs. We're up there, we're seen as one of the leading players in this space. And we stood back a couple of weeks ago, a month or so ago, and actually assessed where we were and realized that, you know, we're in with a shot, within a relatively short time frame, we can be the leading RMM product for managed service providers. We're not short on any features. We're not short on the ability to scale. We're looking at, you know, areas of the product that we know we want to refactor, you know, the UI, new dashboards, things like that coming through. And we truly believe that we can get Datto RMM to the point of being the leading RMM player. And that's really exciting, because that gives everybody something to hang their hat on. You know, you can often get into these endless, you know, cycles of releasing and understanding and prioritizing and developing and releasing, etc. And it can go on, you know, year after year after year, and you see the steady growth. But when you get to a certain size, it's important to have milestones in place. And now suddenly we can visualize, wow, actually this is true. A little center stage, you know, the server over the bathroom. You know, we can actually be the biggest player in the space. And I mean, that is so motivating. I mean, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Christian's here for the free food. I'm here because we can actually fulfill the technical
and the
vision
booze.
And the booze.
Mention the booze.
Let's be accurate about
it. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about RMM as a bigger piece then. So obviously it's changed in the time you have been instrumental in helping to change the industry, in the time that I've been in the managed service space, and how RMM is viewed. Where do you see RMM going, or should I really use RMM? Should I say endpoints, management? How do you see that going forward? What does the world look like over the next 5 years?
Look, I may be a bit, you know, I just deal with what's in front of my face, leave some of the more visionary stuff to Ian. I think too many vendors have chased what I call excessive feature breadth, They've tried to make RMM into RMM Plus or RMM 2.0. And, you know, the actual, you know, what MSPs need an RMM to deliver is pretty tightly defined, right, in my world. So, you know, have you to make it the best RMM tool on the market is, you know, absolutely an attainable goal, right, and one I think that is highly laudable. I think trying to chase breadth in an RMM tool starts taking you fundamentally into other product genres, right? Suddenly you're trying to be, you know, a kick-ass network management and monitoring tool as well, right, rather than focused on the endpoint. You're trying to stray into vulnerability threat detection, which takes you into the security space. So I think that, so endless feature creep is more of a hindrance than a help, because I don't think anyone in the RMM space has absolutely nailed a tool that MSPs are delighted with, right? We always used to look at the RMM world in some regards a bit like antivirus, where it's the product you dislike the least that you go with, right? And that's just was painful to be part of, and that's what we're looking to still really challenge and upset. And I think we're pretty much there. Most people, I think, like net promoter score wise, think what is now data RMM is pretty cool. So I just see it actually as more just deliver an absolute kick-ass RMM that delivers what RMM tools have always promised to deliver robustly, bug-free, you know, reliably and securely, you know, and make it really easy to consume the feature set on offer. But importantly, make sure it integrates with everything that it needs to integrate. So I think for me, the strategy is more around making it interoperable and integrate with other stuff, be it PSA, and certainly weaving it into more of the Datto product portfolio, as opposed to constantly chasing additional features. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
It might not be the coolest answer, but I think, you know, it's still a pretty laudable objective that we've got.
So where do you see the lines at the moment? And Ian, I know you've probably got some thoughts on this, but, you know, when we talk about that breadth, and I totally get what you're saying, where do you draw the lines, for instance? Is it PCs and Mac? Is it PCs, Mac, Linux?
Good question.
Servers? Is it tablets? You know.
Well, ultimately, the point is to deliver a service out to the end customer, to the small business, small medium business that our MSP partners serve. And what they want is an IT infrastructure that is up and running, is secure, is efficient, and serves the business goals. That's what they're looking for. So within that, the role of RMM is obviously, first of all, to be able to apply those service level agreements to that infrastructure. So if it needs to be secure, let's make sure that it's patched, that the AV is running, that firewalls are in place, that the network is secure, for example. If it needs to be performant, let's make sure that, you know, machines aren't out of date, that the correct machines are being used for the correct purpose. It's quite a narrow sort of feature set that needs to be applied. What we don't want to do is to try and be everything to everybody. So we're never going to be a PRTG. They focus particularly on, you know, our networks and network devices and quality of service, etc. It doesn't make sense to try and build that into an RMM tool. What it does make sense to do is to provide an open infrastructure that you can integrate with those sort of tools. And that's more what we're focused on. But I think we pretty much cover off, you know, the five core feature requirements right now. It has always been and remains, let's audit, manage, monitor, support, and report on our customers' infrastructure. And that's what we continue to
do. Look, and in terms of endpoints, absolutely, it's Windows, Mac, Linux, right, what we currently support. It's network devices, but from a, you know, audit monitor, then it's where's the handoff to the high-end monitoring tool, right? But certainly if you look at a typical SMB network, we should be able to, you know, help our MSPs put their arms around every single endpoint in that network, right? The mobile
that's been a
discussion. Yeah, it's probably one for maybe another podcast. There we go.
Held off on that. In 2008, mobile started, you know, sort of rearing its head. Oh, you need to have mobile device management. Everyone was talking about MDM.
I remember it,
MDM. And BYOD.
AirWatch.
And it was the big thing. And we sort of held back. We made a conscious decision. We're not going to go into that until people figure out what it is that they actually want. And 2010, we launched our first MDM, and it was very simple. We supported iOS and Android. With our MDM, you were able to audit the device, track where it was, unlock it, and lock it, and wipe it. And it was those five pieces of functionality that people were looking for. I was going to say we haven't had a huge take-up. I mean, everything is relative. The scale is large now, so we do have, you know, plenty of mobile devices under management now. But there's not been the commercial interest in the MDM that everyone expected it to be, you know, 10 years ago.
I've met very few MSPs that are making effective material revenues out of managing mobile devices.
Yeah, absolutely.
They might have one outlying customer who's got a fleet of 100 iPhones. Yeah, go and use Mass 360 if you want to get credible management of those, or an AirWatch. So, again, we purposely, you know, delivered minimum viable product, and we've never needed to do any more, and it's just not mainstream. So that's our view. But look, outside of the mobile piece, you know, the view is, yeah, let's get a presence on and audit, manage, monitor, support, and report on every device that sits with it within that SMB network, you know, which is why actually, you know, the whole story that we're building with Datto around the Datto networking and the Datto BCDR appliance, some of that edge router stuff is really exciting where we can take that. So that's where I see, you know, RMM 2.0 going, is how we actually bolt it into the wider Datto ecosystem.
Yeah, makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
So you're now part of the Datto family.
Yes.
You've got comfier chairs. You've got more people
to...
Can I
just record on your podcast? We're both wearing Datto shirts.
You are. You're all logoed up as I sit here and look at you. Comfier chairs. You've got more people to manage.
Yeah.
What does the next 12 months look like, you know, for the teams that you manage there? What are you looking to achieve?
Well, from the engineering perspective, scale. So I mean, I'm happy to say that my 2019 budget, you know, is far greater than I've ever had at my disposal. And it's not there because, you know, someone has decided, well, let's just hand out money to engineering. It's there because we sat and looked at the vision, and part of this is the road to number one, and said, well, what is it going to take for us to achieve that? And the great thing about being part of Datto is that it's all about the products selling themselves. The products have to be good enough to sell themselves. So by nature of that, when we laid out that roadmap and we looked at the resources that it would take to get there, you know, the answer was, right, well, let's get that into the budget and let's start recruiting and hiring and planning and getting the infrastructure in place. So for me, it's about growth. It's about growth of the team. We need to be, and we need to be delivering a world-class service, and you can't do that as a startup. You have to invest, and that takes people and experience and processes, etc. And it's putting all that in place and delivering the product through that framework.
Mm. Oh, where do I start on my next 12 months project? Look, it's about growth, right? And happily, we've got all the product teams delivering good product. But it is around just bringing more MSPs into the fold, right? I mean, fundamentally, you know, I'm in a sales role now, so. My view has always been good product sales. So we just need to take the name out there, take the brand out there. So, you know, we're looking to do literally hundreds of events across EMEA. You know, not all big, you know, conferences like this, just localized, you know, I guess you'd call it relatively tactical events, just to get out to where the MSPs are. Right. I think one of the things that I'm definitely keen to do, you know, as is Datto, is just, you know, be one of the few vendors that's really increasing its market presence. We've seen quite a lot of retrenchment, especially from the US vendors that have almost been disappearing out of the market. You know, whether that's offshoring some of their support functions or just sort of stripping back sales and marketing, which we might actually want to do completely the opposite and get out there. So you will see roadshows coming to a town near you soon. But I mean, really get out in, you know, into all the regions. So yeah, big focus on hiring. We've got a massive, you know, headcount expansion plan, in a massive, you know, MSP partner, you know, recruitment targets. Because we've got good stuff. Right.
So if you're looking for a, you know, sales or engineering job with a fast and exciting company.
Yeah, hear my details. Yeah, look, and that's the point. There can't be many people who would look at, you know, as I said, a career at Datto now, because we can paint such a clear picture around career progression. Right? And that's pretty motivating. When we were Central Stage, half the time it was like, how do we move this wonderful individual onwards and upwards in our business? Because there was only 35, did I say? 35 of us, right? Where do they go? And often it was almost looking at how we move them onwards and outwards to fulfill their potential. Whereas now Datto is growing so quick, and there's so many different roles across sales, customer success, services, support. You know, there's, you know, you get in these youngsters and you can move them onwards and upwards, which is part of what I've enjoyed about this new role.
Fantastic. It's exciting times for both of you. And I just want to say this while we're on the podcast. I'm really proud of you both.
Oh,
I've known you for a long time, what is relatively a long time in this industry. And I am genuinely, because you've stuck to your guns.
Yeah.
You knew
in your heart what the future presented, and now you're wildly successful off the back of it. So
appreciate it.
Congratulations to you both, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where you go in the next 15 years, perhaps when we'll be putting RMM devices on the, I don't know, on the moon or something.
Well, IoT, that's one for another podcast. thanks, Richard.
Ian, Christian, thanks for your time. Yeah, really appreciate it. Cheers.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Tub Talk, the podcast for IT business owners. You can find the show notes and bonus content for this interview, along with dozens of other interviews with IT business leaders, over at www.tubblog.co.uk. If you enjoyed this podcast, then we'd really appreciate you rating and reviewing the show over at iTunes. Every review helps us reach new listeners and helps raise the bar for success in the IT industry. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak with you next episode. Have a great day.
G'day, Nigel Moore from the Tech Tribe here again. Now, I hope you enjoyed the episode and there were some rockin' takeaways to go and implement in your business. You are going to implement them, right? Good. So I promised at the beginning of the episode to give you the super quick pitch on what the Tech Tribe is and why you should come and join us. I created the Tech Tribe because it breaks my tech geek heart when I see good people struggling to run their IT support business, especially because that used to be me. Although the good person part is quite debatable, the struggle part was very real for many years. And in a nutshell, I created the Tech Tribe to help MSPs like myself back then get access to the tools, templates, training, and resources that I wish I had when I was traveling my MSP journey. Plus, it's all backed up with a supportive community and expert coaching from not only me, but from the fearless host of this podcast, Sir Richard Tubby himself, who is one of our tribal elders. Now, instead of me babbling on more about why you should join us, I thought I'd read out two quick notes from some of the hundreds of MSPs already inside our tribe. First up, from Tom, great dude from the United States. He says, "I've been in Nigel's Tech Tribe for almost a year now. Best investment I've made to date." And secondly, from Chris, one of our Aussie tribers, who says, "Your energy, tools, techniques, tips, and recommendations have proven invaluable. And whilst I'm not making millions yet, things are on the up and up. Please keep up the good work." So if you want to join the tribe and get access to all of the juicy goodness, simply head on over to thetechtribe.com/tubtalk and check out the super duper special deal for Tub Talk listeners only.